this podcast, I'm going to cover the quantum mechanics of beer. More specifically, I'm going to look at those beer bubbles, how you get some everyday garden variety carbon dioxide, push it in so hard against the water that it forms a carbonate negative ion, and the water forms a hydronium ion. So you get your basics of the bubbliness of beer is basically shoving carbon dioxide into water and how that forms. Now, just a bit of a cultural sensitivity. Please don't go up to people who are drinking beer and try and explain the physics of it. I would never do it yourself. You've got to be respectful of the overall culture of the place. And often one of the mysteries of different pubs or places you go to is that there's a culture which you will take a long time to understand. And this is so too in the schools and education system. They've got themselves wed to a particular way of explaining things, and they've got their way of doing it, and they're very aggressive if you try and push them away from it, even a little bit. I just have to say a similar thing to it, the idea of a group of people with a way of thinking, it's hard to move them on or move it beyond. There's a roadside stop. It's not necessarily, it wasn't a pub, but we went into it while I was cycling through it, and we stopped, and we realised it was a truckie spot, and there were all these posters up with truckie jokes, which we didn't get whatsoever. It was all truckie humour, and we just couldn't understand. Of course, you wouldn't go up to a big truckie and sort of try and tell them about how their truck operates. And so, and similarly, there's been pubs which I just really haven't understood. It's got its own logic and its own way of doing things. You just have to pick it up and be a bit respectful. So, so too is true of the education system. They've got their own way of doing it. But listening to this, you'll be able to see the angle which I'm coming from. This is Ben Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. The last podcast I went through were some of the more distractions of beer. Sure, let's call it distractions. It's a barley, how barley is turned into malt, and how the hops are gathered and it's all mixed together, and how you generate nitrogen and bubbles. Sort of discussion of the nitrogen going into the bubbles of Guinness is enough to fascinate a lot of people, and sort of make you aware of two things, I suppose. Aware of gas in a beer and bubbles, and also aware that there's a lot of science lurking in behind the veneer of everyday life, which you take for granted. We're not going to discuss beer too much. I'm just going to hop right into the carbon dioxide gas molecule and its journey into water, and it shouldn't take too long. So carbon dioxide is an oxygen with a double bond to a carbon, and then the double bond to an oxygen. It's a linear molecule, so if you can imagine an OCO, and it's a linear molecule just due to symmetry. Now let's go through the school grade Bohr Lewis dot diagram. So for carbon, it's got an electron configuration of 2 and 4. It's got it's the sixth element. It's got 6 protons, 6 positive charges, and naturally it can hold 6 electrons. The first 2 electrons in the first orbital. The next electrons are arrayed in the second orbital after that, the second row of the periodic table. So that's n equals 2. N is the principal quantum number. Again, the principal quantum number equals the 1 plus the radial quantum number plus the number of angular quantum numbers. There, we'll go into it there. So the first off, if you can imagine carbon, and the way you draw a electron configuration is square brackets 2 dot 2 or 2 dot 4, So for neon, would be square brackets 2.8, close square brackets. For say fluorine, F minus, that would be square brackets 2.8, because there's an extra electron in there, close square brackets and a minus sign. So the minus sign out of there is to tell you that that 2 and 8 is got an extra charge. So the square brackets is a sort of a graphical way of talking about electron configuration. So carbon is square brackets 2.4, and either side it's got an oxygen which is 8. So it's carbon, nitrogen, oxygen. So nitrogen 7, oxygen is 8. And so that's square brackets 2.6 square brackets, or close. And the carbon dioxide molecule, it's really rather pedestrian. I draw a oxygen with a central O. Draw the nucleus, or you can draw the nucleus and put in charges there, O, just to tell you what it is, a graphical point to show you that the proton is an oxygen nucleus, an inner circle with 2, an outer circle with 6. And so you tend to put these in clusters of two each. I've got my friends coming up here. He's coming up for a footy. G'day, mate. I'm just trying to do a podcast here. Hi, mate. I'm just doing a podcast. What are you coming up here for? Just to see what it's like, or? All right. See you. I'll just finish this off, mate. So I'm out here. I'll have to finish this off pretty soon to see my son playing AFL up the top of the ridge up here. So, let's get back to it. You've got 2 and then 6 on the outside, and you've got to marry that up so you get 8 on the outside for each of them. So what you do is you've got the 6 in groups of 2. Now, it's groups of 2 due to spin. Look, this is what I'm going to do is show you that this is mad. Overall, I'm trying to do a podcast, which really should be perhaps a YouTube. So for your first oxygen, you've got 2, 2, 2, and you rotate it around such you've got one of those twos hitting your carbon. For your carbon, you have we'll mark those electrons rather than the dots. We'll put them in little X's so we can tell where they come from. On its outer shell, it's shell number 2, N equals 2. It'll have 4 all up, but we'll put 2 X's close, almost kissing next to the 2 dots of the first oxygen, and we'll draw a general circle there. And for that oxygen, it's got a complete 8 then. You've got 2 dots and 2 X's together, and add it all up. You've got 8 around the outside. Do that for carbon. You've got to sort of draw this out. You've got oxygen. The left-hand 2, you've got, it's married up with another 2. That's 4. On the right-hand side, you've got 2 carbons married up with the 2 electrons from oxygen. And 4 electrons, 2 electrons make a bond. 4 electrons make a double bond, and you have oxygen, double bond, carbon, double bond, oxygen. A nice inert molecule, linear molecule. Carbon, it's I suppose a bit of a witchcraft, but it's a way of convincing people that they understand what's coming on. If this is, you draw all that with big square brackets around the outside, and if that was charged, you put the number of charges on the outside. So these square brackets that you use are a bit like a camera viewfinder, where the actual charges are not part of the diagram, it's part of the accounting out on the side. That's how you draw it and explain it, that carbon dioxide's okay. And now what we're going into is describe four people. It's the next molecule, so that's perfect. And what happens is that I get that carbon and I squish it up next to a water, and what will happen is that water will break in two, it'll lose a H plus, and the OH will stick with the carbon dioxide, and that's a anion which forms an acid. Pretty much it's an anion like chlorine, Cl minus and H, that's an acid. So this is a polyatomic anion. So it's like chlorine, but we've made a thing like chlorine out of several atoms. How's that? Well, as you'll see, it's scratch your headsville for students to try and work out what's going on. Because you basically can't get anything sensible with this school grade circles and dots. You've unfortunately got to go through quantum mechanics. So that's, as I dare say, the take-home message here. The acid is Cl minus and H plus. In the case of carbolic acid, it's CO3H minus and an H plus, or an H3O or plus, a hydronium ion, and you'll have to get through that. Now, the point I really want to make is let's sort of make it a bit more interesting or simpler to comprehend, or is that you can actually make a CO3 double minus. So CO3, carbon, three oxygens, and two minuses. So that's telling you that's a carbon, three oxygens, and two electrons somehow stuck in there. We're going to see if we can actually to make this. So I've got to tell you in advance that the oxygen's symmetric. I think it's a planar molecule, CO3 carbonate. Fairly important, calcium carbonate, limestone, stuff for making pyramids and all your fantastic monuments about the place. Limestone, nice and easy to cut. Equivalent to us, calcium phosphate. Right, phosphate is, I think, PO4. Phosphorus and four oxygens and two minus, zero electrons around. Calcium phosphate's your bones and your teeth. So it's a fairly important thing that we get to know. And this little stuff is hanging around the place, fairly important. The chalk on your chalkboard and stuff like that, fairly important compound. Can we access it directly with school science? So I'm going to ask you to put your carbon with the two and the two electrons on the outside, so four electrons around the outside, and three oxygens around the outside, and so the oxygens have six, so there's three oxygens around the outside, and see if you can figure out a way to organize this such that each one has a complete shell of eight electrons, and that's carbon's got eight electrons on its N equals two shell. Oxygen's got eight electrons, and on all three of those shells. Now, I suppose it's probably best to go to Wikipedia or something like that to look at the carbonate. So carbonate's really important. It's the stuff that you add into sodium bicarbonate. It's the stuff you add into cakes that make things fizzy. The carbolic acid is the acid in beer. So you push in carbon dioxide strong enough to water, and under pressure, the carbon dioxide goes out of the air and actually begins to stick to the water. So what happens in a can is you can get a whole lot more gas once you compress, because as you start to compress, it actually stops being a gas and starts binding with water. So leaves the gas system. So you can produce a hell of a lot of carbon dioxide fizziness without a hell of a lot of pressure. Important thing to see. Now, the answer when you get to it is that there is actually really no way of drawing this around. You have to actually draw things with, say, carbon. Three of the atoms share somehow. Three of the electrons on the outside share a, or two share with one oxygen, and one shares one electron each, sort of a half bond with every the other two oxygens, rather than a double bond with one. You have a double bond with two. It's a double bond with one, and a one and a half with one, and a one and a half with the other. In fact, the way that you draw it is three diagrams. Say you've got oxygens 1, 2, and 3, and three separate diagrams saying it's rotating very quickly between all of these. This is a double bond with number one, and half bond, one and a half with the others, and then a double bond with number two, and half with the others, a double bond with number oxygen number three. And that's one way of drawing it. If you draw a dot diagram, this is assuming that electrons are tiny little dots. You've got these dots somehow floating around the outside of this diagram, actually inside your box, but on the outside, and hoping that those electrons don't fly away. So things, the bond diagram, the simple way of drawing it, really struggles. Way of drawing it with bonds, you have to draw a half bond with a dashed line. So there's an oxygen with two lines, and two of the other oxygens have a single line and a dashed line between them. Or perhaps the best way of drawing it, which I've seen, is to say that there's each oxygen is the same, but it has a bond and a two-thirds bond. And this is really, really crazy. And what it doesn't really get down to, the fact is that the electrons are not dots, and the electrons are shapes. And from afar, your CO3 is neutral. CO3 is neutral. There's an equal number of protons and oxygens, you know. If you get close enough, you can actually, as an electron, at a distance of it, not see the other electrons and see a positive group of nuclei and actually get attracted into it. So there's this basic thing is that you're, and you can get this with the shape of electrons and being certain shapes hanging around the nuclei, is that they do, like jigsaw puzzle pieces stick around the outside, but you can rotate it and actually fit another jigsaw puzzle piece in there, though it's negatively charged. So let's have a think about this for the moment. CO3 double minus. That's two minuses. It's got two extra electrons. Those two extra electrons are attracted at short distance to a positive charge of the nucleus. That's the reason that those two electrons stick to each other, and they're attracted in such a way that they can't see the other electron. It's pretty astonishing. You can't see the other electrons in there, and it is at a lower energy state. The electrons, rather than floating around space, actually come close to this space and actually can see in this multidimensional space an orientation in which they can see a positive charge and not the repelling negative charges. And that is what's happening when you stick the carbon dioxide in to water, push it into water. You actually change it such that you are actually pushing in electrons into this molecule. And when you uncrack your tinny lid open, you reduce the pressure, and those electrons emerge from your carbonate, and things return back to normal water and back to normal carbon dioxide. So I'm deliberately not describing wave functions and orbitals and stuff like that. I'm just saying, hang on a moment. Although we're really committed to this way of describing things, this quantum mechanics does actually open up a way of understanding this and getting through to a whole, not only just CO3 minus, what about SO3 double minus or SO4 double minus, the really basics of it. So this close range, seeing a close range positive charge and falling into it at close range can liberate the energy to allow a long range charge to flow around a circuit. It's so fundamental for describing the fundamental chemistry of you encounter, basically, and also the chemistry of batteries and eventually the chemistry of solar cells. So it's a really important step to it. And I suppose just a warning again, don't just keep it to yourself study up and try and learn. Don't go up to people in pubs and say, hey, do you understand? You know, this is quantum mechanics. That's sure as hell to get you into a fight that you're not really wanting to be involved in. But in general, that's the education system in general. It's sort of saying, hey, this is the way this operates. This is clearly, you clearly have a shortcoming here, describing polyatomic negative ions with your existing methodology. And people, surely you've got a problem. You're just going to irritate people. There's a reason that it's not described in books, and people close down conversations very quickly when you start to talk about polyatomic and negative ions. They find it just too hard, and there's this culture. But hopefully you'll listen to this, and it's part of this inquisitiveness. Find your way almost like through a bush track to a new vista, walking away off the main roads. Okay, thanks for listening. That's Peter Hill Explains. In the meantime, keep on doing science.